So today is the conclusion of our series on how to live a life that matters, so that the way in which we live this life, people are pointed towards God and not away from God. And we've been following the lives of Daniel and his friends as they were deported into Babylonian exile and landed in their Babylon, where everything was countercultural, everything was not what they would have liked, what they would have wanted. But they had to live lives that mattered, that pointed people towards Christ and not away from Christ. And we've been following his life, Daniel's life, as a young man when he started out there as a teenager, maybe late teens, perhaps in his early 20s, when he and his friends were brought to Nebuchadnezzar's palace, and they had to work with Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar saw Daniel, saw the potential in Daniel, and Daniel served Nebuchadnezzar as his second in charge in the end for 40 years. 40 years served, living a life that mattered, so that through him, through his friends, Nebuchadnezzar and the people of Babylon could see who Christ was and turn towards Christ. When Nebuchadnezzar dies, there's a period of nearly 20 years before we get to the king that I want to talk to you about today. And I'm not going to name all those kings because it's quite a myriad of them, and it can get really messy because there's also a change of power. The Babylonians are not in power anymore. The Persians are now in power. King Cyrus is the Persian king. He installs a surrogate king to be the king in Babylon for him, a king by the name of Darius the Mede. And this is the king that we are going to read about, and we're going to find his story in chapter 6 today. But now you're saying, why mess us around with all this history? I need to put this thing in context for you and its correct life setting, because here's the thing. When we think of Daniel, usually we think of the 20-year-old that we met in chapter 1, this young, athletic, well-looking guy. But just think about it for one second. He served Nebuchadnezzar for 40 years, and another 20 years now has gone by since Nebuchadnezzar died. So the Daniel we're going to meet in chapter 6 today is not the 20-year-old. It's a man in his 80s somewhere. And when Nebuchadnezzar died, Daniel also lost his position, and he kind of disappeared in political kind of limbo. Didn't see him anymore, wasn't heard of anymore. Chapter 5, when you read about King Belshazzar, the one who saw the writing on the wall, he didn't even know who Daniel was. So that then brings us to our chapter in Daniel, chapter 6, where we meet this king Darius the Mede. Going to read verses 1 to 9 with you at first. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Let's just stop there for a second. So we don't get all the information, but what we see is Daniel is put into a position of power again under King Darius. And why? I'm sure Darius might have heard or read about Daniel and his exceptional qualities. The moment Daniel starts working, he sees exactly who Daniel is. So he has this plan of even putting him as his number one guy over the kingdom. But it's not just because Daniel's exceptional qualities that he's in this position again. There's something else I want us to see, to recognize in this whole series, because we're talking about how to live a life that matters in my Babylon, where things are not necessarily what I like, where things don't necessarily go the way that I always want them to go, where things are sometimes really hard and difficult. I want you to recognize what Daniel did. Daniel stayed in Babylon. And you're saying, yeah, he had to. No. After 30 years, they allowed a group of them to go back. After 50 years, they allowed another group to go back. Daniel didn't go back. Daniel stayed. Despite the fact that this was hard, despite the fact that this was not the easiest thing for him to do, even when he got demoted, even when he lost his influence, even when Babylon stayed Babylon, Daniel stayed. Because you see, here's the thing. Daniel knew that transformation cannot happen from a distance. If I want to live a life that matters so that God can be seen through me and people will focus on God, I cannot be at a distance. I can also not see myself as this poor victim of the society around me in which I'm living. Even if things are hard, Daniel stayed. And so he's in power. But Daniel didn't change. He didn't compromise. He didn't give up his integrity. Daniel was the man of God that he'd always been in all of his Babylon. But Babylon too did not change. When these other satraps and prefects and all of these people saw how well Daniel was doing, they were immediately jealous and they tried to find something against Daniel so that they could get rid of him because they were jealous. Isn't that exactly how the world works? But despite this, Daniel stayed. But Daniel also never caved. He didn't fall into the trap of giving in to these small or little insignificant compromises. I'm not going to report that on my tax return. I mean, it's just a little thing. I'm not going to tell that part of the truth. I mean, it's just a little thing. I'm just going to flirt a little bit with that married woman at work or that married man. I mean, it's just a little thing. Here's the problem with just the little things. The little things don't stay little things. Because one little compromise becomes another compromise, becomes another compromise, and becomes a huge compromise. And before I know it, my whole life is one compromise. One lie leads to another lie. And all of a sudden it becomes so easy just to live there. Daniel stayed, but he never caved because he knew that to live a life that matters, my choices, my way of living mattered because he knew and understood my integrity matters more than my influence. And I know in the world in which we live, that just sounds so crazy because everyone nowadays wants to be an influencer. I mean, you look at TV and they ask people, what is your occupation? Oh, I'm an influencer on social media. What does that mean? Well, I go from store to store and tell people what dresses to buy. Okay, I'm an influencer. What are you? I'm an influencer. So what do you do? No, I tell people what kind of music they need to listen to. Well, here's the thing. When Jesus called us to live lives that matter, lives that will change the world, he didn't say, go be an influencer. When Jesus called us to bring change in this world and to live lives that matter, he said, go love your neighbor, forgive your enemy, honor your spouse, keep your commitments. In other words, live a life that matters means your integrity matters more than your influence. So Daniel stayed and he never caved. And after that, everything just worked out perfectly for Daniel and the rest of his life was plain sailing. Yeah, right. I wish I could say that to you. And I wish that was the truth, but no, it's not. Because here's the thing again. The moment I decide to live a life that matters, the moment I decide that I will put Christ first in my life and I'm not going to compromise, I am not going to cave, that never means that all of a sudden life just becomes easy. Usually the opposite. It's not a 401 without traffic forever. It's not winter in Canada without snow and ice. It's quite the opposite, not because of people. Not because God is doing that, but because the enemy, and let's call him by his name, Satan, doesn't want that. And he's always going to put things in my way to try and derail my life, to disrupt my life, to make my life just difficult so that I will cave and I will compromise. That's just what he has always done. It's always been his modus operandi. Ask Daniel. When they couldn't find a thing against him, they set a trap. So they go to King Darius. We read that. And they're so pious when they get there. We thought that this would be a wonderful thing, Your Majesty, that for 30 days, no one should pray to any god or any person except to you, Your Majesty. And if they don't, throw them in the lion's den to show you how powerful you are, because that's the game that they play. And Darius kind of falls in the trap, right? Spoke about that last week. There is a god, but I am not him. Darius falls into that trap, right? And Darius immediately makes this a law of the Medes and the Persians. No one can revoke that. It's written. The moment Daniel hears this, this is Daniel's reaction. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day he got on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel stayed. He never caved. And Daniel prayed. Not silently. Not secretly, not with his eyes wide open so that no one would suspect that, which I think maybe I would have done because I might have been scared. Openly, where everyone can see, as he's always done. And Daniel prayed. But I want you to see again. Daniel prayed and he did what? And he thanked God. Daniel didn't start praying and say, oh Lord, look what you've done. I've been so faithful. I've lived this life that should matter. And now look what's happening to me. Why don't you change this? Please change this. I know you can change this. Please do something about that. No. Daniel thanked God. Because Daniel knew who was on the throne. Daniel knew who was in control of everything. Also, the lion's den and the lions and whatever might happen, even if, as we saw last week, even if the lions were to eat him, Daniel prayed and thanked God. Because you see, the devil has this other trick that he plays with us. If he can't get us to compromise, he'll get us complaining. Why can't this change? Why didn't God do that? Why do I have to wear this? Why do I have to listen to those people? Why do I go there? Why can't I? If you look at Daniel and you look over 60 years, you'll never find Daniel complaining to God ever. Through the ups, through the downs, through the hards, through the difficulties, through the struggles, Daniel never complains. Why? Because he knows who is on the throne. Daniel stayed. Daniel never caved. But Daniel always prayed. That brings us to the part of the story that all of you know well, and I'm not going to read that part of the story. So, Daniel prays, they come, they see him, they take him to King Darius. King Darius really liked Daniel, you saw that in the beginning. He cared about Daniel. So we read, he tried everything in his power to save Daniel. Right up to sundown at that day, he tried. But of course, it was written as a law of the Medes and the Persians. And by the end of the day, all he could do was hand Daniel over. And they threw Daniel in the lion's den. And they rolled the stone over the den and left Daniel there. The king went home to his house. And that evening, it says, he didn't want any entertainment and he didn't eat anything and he really didn't sleep at all. Daybreak, King Darius is out of his palace, runs straight to the lion's den, and he calls out to Daniel, 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 did your God that you have been serving all this time, did your God perhaps save you? Of course, not expecting to hear a single thing. And then he hears Daniel's voice saying, may the king live forever. And then we read in verse 23, the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Because he had trusted in his God. See, my friends, Daniel stayed, never caved, prayed. That last verse says every day. He didn't just pray in the moment when he got to the lion's den and he thought, now God must help. He prayed all the time because Daniel trusted in Daniel's God. And when we trust in God, God is faithful. And when we show that we trust in this faithful God, people look at our lives and they see lives that matter. But more than that, people look at us and they see God. But they see God for who God really is. That's how you live a life that matters. When it points people toward God, and they can see God for who God really is. Because look what happened. When Daniel lives this life that matters, he doesn't compromise. He knows that his integrity matters more than his influence. Trusts his God. We read verse 25. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, may you prosper greatly I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heaven and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. What happens when we stay and we don't cave and we pray? People see God. That's the story of Daniel. Story that asks us to live lives that matter so that people will be drawn to God and not be pushed away from God. That we will stay and pray, never cave, until that stone for us too is rolled away. Because 200 years later, Jesus would come into this world and he would stay. He would never cave. He didn't compromise. His integrity was never broken. And he prayed until that stone was rolled away. Because of that, you and I, we can stay in our Babylon and live lives that matter. Because of that, we can learn how to live and love our neighbors. We can learn how to love our enemies and forgive them. Because that stone was rolled away and that grave is empty. And when he walked out that grave, the mouths of Satan and all of his angels, they were locked. And he started living in us through his Holy Spirit, enabling us to live lives that matter. That's the challenge. How to live a life that matters, that points people toward God, so they might see God for who God is. Amen. Lord, thank you for allowing us to walk through the book of Daniel. Thank you for these wonderful, wonderful examples for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Thank you that we may stand before you and be reminded that there is a God, that we are not him, but you are. But thank you that we may live lives so that people may see you and see you for who you are. Help us to stay, never cave, but always pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.